Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming on in. What a day. Wow, it's madness out there. All right, so we've got lots to talk about. Catch my breath, got locked out. So everybody, once again, you've got through to the update show, and we're going to be doing lots of technology news. So thanks again for that, and come on in. Right, okay, well actually today's show is supposed to be on, is supposed to be on the social network platform, but for some reason the sound's not coming through, so just give me a sec here and I'll sort this out. Okay, everything's sorted now, people. Really sorry about that. For some reason, the sort of man, there's someone in another studio. Okay. So, we are back on live. Thank you so much. Sorry about all that. Wow, what a morning. So much going on in the world. Okay, so... Right, well, let's get straight into it. You've got update, supposed to, tech show, and here we are, having technical problems. That's not a good look. So what we're going to be talking about today is social networks, all the goods, the bads, the misunderstandings, the opportunities, and, because I think too many times people sort of almost give the bash to the social networks, And it's actually quite destructive because kind of not all social networks are the same and not all parts of them are good or bad. And I think I'm going to try and detangle that. And again, for the media, if they'd spent, you know, even an hour reading some blogs, they would have a bit more nuanced conversation on just sort of things like the word big tech, you know, which has just become a bit of a catch cry. And, you know, and this idea of, you know, propaganda and things like that on the social networks. And it's a real shame that the media hasn't taken it upon themselves to sort of upgrade their knowledge on what a social network is. So today's my job to do is to hopefully untangle those and also be helping, well, quite frankly, the media understand the old social network. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about. And and of course, you know, the thing is there's lots of social networks, and then there's social media. And so let me sort of explain really what social network is, kind of against a social media, okay? And there is a sort of important one feature, okay? The feature that makes the social network, which doesn't get enough understanding, is... Let's take that down a bit. All right, so this special feature, the magic of a social network, is the same feature that all you poor buggers who used to sell Amway would know. This is the old multi-level marketing. I'm sure we've all sort of had a touch of this. And this is the idea that you're selling, you don't know, Greg's Coffee or whatever it is. And you say, look, you bring two friends or three friends. And then they buy the coffee. And you'll get a few cents of every coffee they buy. And if they get three coffees, you'll get 3 cents of them. All right. Now, you know, this isn't a pyramid scheme. This is legitimate. This is called multi-level marketing. And it was a real catch thing in the 80s, you know, before the internet. You know, everyone would have Tupperware parties and, you know. So it's not unknown. So the geniuses of Zuckerberg, really, and I think he's a genius, basically had this concept and digitalized it. You don't have to call anyone. The idea of a social network, the magic is... it's not about your tweets and all this. It's the idea that if you have one friend, all right, you can bring them in and then you'll be able to see their friends, okay? And then you might make friends with them and they'll make friends with them. And it's a pyramid. It's effectively this concept of friends make friends, okay? And that's the magic of a social network. And that's not ever really been pushed through, I think, in the first understanding, okay? So anyway, look, so we're going to get into that. That's kind of the big part. Anyway, let me start with a bit of the old tech news because I didn't give you that this morning, and then we'll get straight into social network systems, okay? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, well, there's a lot going on, of course, trying to avoid all the main issues of the old elections everywhere and just try to keep you out of the all that. And just start with some crazy Twitter news, such as, well, social network news, and that's that, we have the president and his associates being effectively stopped from tweeting on certain... some of their tweets have been flagged on Twitter. I think, quite frankly, too little too late on them. And that's going to be part of my topic today is, quite frankly, getting the media to stop their fixation and lust affair with Twitter. But anyway, I'll get off that. Steve Bannon has actually been banned from Twitter. Thank God for that. And we won't mention what he tweeted. So that's, not a bit scary. Now, the old rocket news, like I always like, is, Rocket Lab got their parachutes ready and they're going to be landing one of their first stage boosters to the ground. and the first ever recapture by this system of Rocket Lab. And stay tuned for their next launch on that. So that's really exciting. It's quite a lot of science. And they've gone from passive landing, passive descent, and using a sort of an old military-style parachute. Bitcoin's still not going away for those of crypto fans. It's not dying the death that people expected. In fact, it's becoming more widely used by all sorts of things. And I'll be bringing you news on that because there's a lot happening that I want to talk to you about. I'll just speak a couple of the old rumors, which are always fun, is, and people hassle me this, but old Mr. Valve, the guy who runs Valve, is looking at bringing some of his gaming solutions to New Zealand by way of maybe some actual developers here in Auckland. And that's a rumor, but hey, if it wasn't a rumor, it wouldn't be fun, right? But, you know, like all these rumours, you never know, might be true. And I have it on fairly good rumour sources. And, of course, the other rumour that I was telling you last time about Microsoft going towards a Linux kernel, looks like there's definitely more and more evidence that that is the case, effectively creating their own distribution of Linux. Anyway, lots to talk about my social network thing, so let's just get into the show. So, yeah, social networks. Okay, come on, this is pretty topical, surely. Good conversation to get your head around. And let's hope even Mike Hosking's listening so he can inform his audience about what is a social network and what's good and what's bad. Right, so, like I say, that's the idea of sort of the multi-level connections is the bed and breakfast of the old social network. Some of these platforms are more social media, all right? And what that is it's more of a popular posting platform where making connections is not the primary feature. And one of those examples is YouTube. Now, YouTube, some sort of talk about it as a social media platform. And the point is that no one's really connecting in there. Kind of shame on Google. They were a bit timid in this area. They started Google Plus and they ran away from it. But yeah, all that's sort of a posting. And same with, or dare I say it, even some of these newer ones are not so much about making connections. Twitter is really about the hashtag going viral, opposed to you making friends of friends of friends of friends. I think for me, I'll start now. The one that I think least think that is a world we should be promoting is Twitter. I'm amazed. Let me, you know, give you that straight away. Because Twitter effectively dumbs us down by very nature of its engineering. It literally will not let you put large use vocabulary that you want to. You literally have to use the smallest, dumbest words you can. You need to take a complicated matter and turn it into a soundbite. And as a computer scientist, like when I was working for Telecom, the way we found out about new systems, like the new, in those days it was Dig and, well, even Google, I remember that day, it was through the nerd scene. The way that people found about Twitter was through the media scene. The engineers, the techs, thought it was rubbish, quite frankly. But the media have been consistent with promoting Twitter. I've always been wondered about that. Whenever they have an article, the first thing they will say is, so-and-so tweeted, so-and-so tweeted. And I think this infatuation Twitter, I've never really understood. And the only thing I thought might make understand is that Twitter isn't really a natural competition to the media companies because it's, you can't really write an article in the end. So maybe that's why the media have never really wanted to push, you know, more mature platforms like LinkedIn and Facebook, quite frankly, and then all the rest, like Minds.com. But anyway, Twitter effectively dumbs us down by nature and polarizes us, and lets you only effectively do a very small, normally a cliche, on any subject. And so I'm surprised that as a world, and certainly as a media, that the media haven't said, you know, it's really just very not, should not be mainstream. And the fact that the CEO has refused to ban Donald Trump and other people for grotesque use of their platforms, you know, for me, says what's at the underlying heart of Twitter. And I think that's really important when we're bashing big tech or any technology company. Who are the CEOs and what is their sort of modus operandi? What is their, what are they trying to achieve with their platform? And, you know, you take a lot of these platforms and they, some of them have really good intentions, like, for example, Facebook. Facebook has, as much as they're bashed, well, in Harvard, I went to Zuckerberg's little apartment, for what it's worth, quite fun, humble little apartment. He was living on site at Harvard, and he was more of, they were more of the ideas, despite the movie that was made, of saying, how do people kind of make more friends? Okay? You know, or the Social Network movie, of course, came out, it was all about, you know, rating people that were ugly. But really, no, it was Zuckerberg's intent was the idea of making friends of friends and then improving dialogue. It was a real good thing he was pushing for. And the fact that people hate on him, I think either they are too lazy to read properly or there's something wrong with them. So, yeah, so Zuckerberg really did that. And then he gets hastized for a lot of things. And then he's often saying, well, look, I'm in a hard situation. I can't take a 5 billion user platform and sway it to appease any political group. It's not that simple, people. And these people that hate on him have never really, they never innovate. Zuckerberg never forced anyone to use Facebook. He's never forced it. And there are systems out there that we've just never chosen as a society to promote. And so if we want to hate on big tech, I said this last time, all you need to do is support medium-sized tech, okay? And you know, it blows my mind. All right. So so with that, there are platforms that are open source and free. So today I'm going to talk about the Minds platform. So Minds is, I'm not saying go and use it. What I'm going to say is the niche that it falls in the market. So Minds is linked into the blockchain, and how it works is that blockchain isn't just used for cryptocurrency, it's also used for effectively, oh, what's the special word for this? It's used for in-deletable data or uninferable data. When you send a message through the blockchain system, it cannot be manipulated in any way, and you have complete control of whether it's accessible to anyone else. And so using blockchain as your engineering, Minds is effectively a 100% your data is your data, and 100% impossible to effectively find out your details and see anything that you post to your friends. And so that, you know, that's Minds. Now that's so their nuance of the social network market, and it's not for me, was all about this idea of privacy. So that's their niche, and Minds has got its own little community. So for those who sort of keep hating on Facebook saying, oh, they take our data, well, there's another opportunity, and just to, you know, go to that platform if that was your thing. There is other ones as well, but so let's just go on that. Now let's go to Facebook again, and let's say about some of the things that actually quite make Facebook good, and things that unfortunately the way we're living in a society, they are actually forced to dumb down their product, and again that's the media. So let me give you examples. So Facebook, like I say, originally started was this, the first concept was connections. And then it was this concept of a wall. And that is like you have your space to promote whatever you wish. Now, in the first instance, the wall had a myriad of third-party apps and plugins for you to write what you wanted. And one of the first ones, of course, was it had its own blog, and you could write, you know, a few pages. You might be studying insects. That's your passion. And so this is how far off the media is from how evil they are to the intent of actual Facebook. And so let me see if I can change the narrative to saying it's not big tech guys, it's the media that are the generally the problem for the world. And big tech is actually reluctantly gone the way of the corrupt media. All right, and so let me give you a perfect example here. So the conversations, the original Facebook was like, okay, so, and this happened. In the beginning was, you know, Jack's, you know, I don't know, he's passionate about insect studies, but in his community in Tauranga, he really doesn't know anyone who's interested in insects. But he takes photos of these and he labels the different things that he finds in the neighborhood and he posts them to his wall, his effectively his social network. Okay. And he uses hashtags in there and he uses, different bits of jargon, and he uses HTML links inside the blog so that search engines can find him. He puts photos up there. He can upload movies of things. He can attach, in the first Facebook, you could attach documents. You could attach a PDF. Like, for example, even could write a thesis on a particular insect. Attach it, a Word document, a whole movie, you know, a whole video. And bang. And the idea was that the Jack would be studying insects in this, suburb of Tauranga. And all of a sudden, someone from Massachusetts will say, hey, man, that's what we're really interested in. And let's make a group. So Facebook had groups. So then there'd be sort of the insect study group. And people would blog about it and update things and post things about it. And it would make the world a richer, more dynamic place. And it would stop the loneliness. It would stop people being apart from each other. It would be a sharing of knowledge. It's actually a wonderful idea. And it started doing that if it wasn't for such a dumb media. I mean, really dumb. It's every day I wake up more disappointed how surprised I am at how dumb the media is worldwide. Anyway, so that was the original plan of the Facebook. And it's great. Helping for the world was get communities that were passionate about their subjects to have a place to share them unimpeded by any media or any sort of really postulating by anyone else. They could be anonymous in the beginning until, of course, the huge European union that couldn't resist getting their fingers in and told Facebook, no, you can't just let people have a normal linear old account. They've got to have their real name. All these do-gooding governments, and instead of actually working on real solutions. Anyway, so that was their idea, that people would share these cool things together. And, of course, if it's not insects, it might be cars. I mean, that was a huge group and still is. Not so much now. But the idea would be a car enthusiast group and, you know, and of course sharing of knowledge, making of friends. And this happens. I mean, I joined them and traveled the world using my Facebook connections I'd made and dropping in. One of the ones actually that I got really involved was with sort of transport and meeting people in the pubs from different walks of life on sharing sort of data, literally raw data on motorway traffic. And that was the kind of concept. And then people, it did. It was huge. And it doesn't happen as much, but it was happening a lot in the beginning. Not so much New Zealand because, you know, our media is even worse than some. But, you know, there were lots of countries in the world traveling around just by linking into Facebook groups. And you can imagine, let's say, you know, I don't know, if you are, let's say you're into NASA or whatever, and you'd go and you'd make these connections and then you'd go down to some beach or whatever and you'd meet these groups. You might fly there and go, oh wow, you're Sam from the guy that always uploads the latest space shuttle re-entries. Oh, good to meet you, you know, then and all go and have a sort of function somewhere, and it makes a world a better, inclusive, more intelligent world. But, you know, the media would not want that, would they? But that was the original concept of Facebook. It was the idea of groups of like-minded people. The idea of the most beautiful thing, which is people putting their thoughts down in an intelligent, logical way on pen and paper, you know, the old typing. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic, quite frankly, the original Facebook. And there were people, and let me be blunt, there was my disabled cousin at the time, lovely girl. She didn't leave home, you know, she interacted with me by playing Farmville. And people that couldn't leave their house in certain situations, who were stuck in their house. And this is why the media really are evil people. They never mention any of the goods. They just hated on Zuckerberg, quite frankly, because the media believes in revenue for their sort of lackluster and uninnovative platforms that they never spent more than probably a coffee meeting to think about how to innovate media, just using their raw power to try to beat people into buying their products. You know, zero innovation, and it's just happening day in, day out. No doubt probably TVNZ will try to stop Netflix rather than try to innovate themselves soon. But anyway, that's how the grand of Facebook, that the world is starting to, the narrative, I fear, is starting to become a narrative of the big techs are the problem. We need more suppression from the government. We need bigger government to tell us how to be happy. And we need everyone to, you know, put away any technology and sort of go back to playing in the mud in the creek. And I mean, I did that in the 80s, but I can tell you what, my world of traveling the world in my 30s using the social network was a lot more rich than when I first went to London in the 90s and had to use the yellow pages to find jobs and bulletin boards or posting things in the New Zealand House to find an accommodation. I'm amazed how people think going back to the 80s is the solution. Then again, I often at odds with the world I live in. It's the world of a computer scientist. It's a curse. So anyway, that's your social network. The original plan was to really push the idea of connections and enrichment and sharing of knowledge, and it forced people to study more. I mean, if you're going to write a blog and you've got 1,000 of your like-minded, insect-loving people going to read it, well, you're going to study grammar. You're going to make sure you understand the correct jargon. You're going to want to make your sentences sound nice. You're going to download Grammarly. You're going to make it good. I mean, and the way the media's pushed it towards Instagram and Twitter is the opposite of everything kind of good in the world. And the media, either, like say, evil or dumb, really. Yeah. And so that's what you've got with the original intent of Facebook. And it happened, and it worked quite a lot, and it still does a bit. But again, they have been attacked. There's nothing but attack and tack by every government in the world, basically to tell Facebook, stop innovating, just keep on softening your approach and making everyone more homogenous, dumb it down, take out that feature. Now it's literally just a post of your lunch or a post of some sort of political polarized view. So, you know, well done, governments, well done, media, for taking what was such a bright light in the world and taking it into your dark world view. Anyway, but let's hope that the narrative, even my little voice, can get you, I know, it's not impossible to change this thing around. I think when Biden is put on the throne, he may actually say, look, you know, let's be a bit more intelligent about this, and let's see what we can, who knows. But the solution, of course, like most of these things, is not just all about Facebook. It's about innovating and letting other companies come into the play, and then you get a richer creative opportunities for everyone. So if you don't like Facebook, you can go to a different platform, and that's what we should be doing. I guess I can say now, I mean, me and my team have been building a New Zealand social network now for 4 years. We hope to release it next year, but we bash our heads against the wall every day, the amount of people who, you know, can't give a damn. But, yeah, we'll hold
you know, cross your fingers. Let's see what our little social network can do next year. But the thing is, the point, of course, is innovation and improving solutions is the answer. And by just simply not allowing, not effectively pushing and allowing, you know, really the world could have, you know, maybe 300 or 400 social networks. We've got lazy. We've gone, oh, well, Facebook sort of does it. And let's not even promote another one or make our own. Anyway, so that was your the original intent. And like I say, the idea of connecting people and then people who were, you know, hospital-bound could play, you know, share and communicate and live stream and talk to their friends. I mean, again, all these people hating on them, you know. It's the same kind of hate that Elon Musk got for trying to help the world. You know, everyone hated on him because he's doing SpaceX, but he wasn't doing it environmentally friendly enough. I mean, just, yeah, it's the old adage of you pointing the finger, you know, point four fingers back at yourself, right? It doesn't apply to me, trust me. Because I always do point four fingers back at myself. That's why I'm allowed to point a finger at you, because I'm always working on this stuff. Anyway, so that's how it works. Anyway, so that's what happened now. So, and I saw that when I remember seeing Facebook's original product, and it was fantastic. The big thing used to be events. I'm sure people remember. If you had a party, you put a Facebook event up and you'd organize it through that. That's all gone. That's all gone. And again, it was quite frankly in the media. Rupert Murdoch couldn't handle having natural competition to his plethoranth of, you know, old print media. And what happened is that Twitter came about with its innocuous, terrible idea of only putting half a sentence on. And I remember it being vigorously, because I follow this stuff, you know, computer science is, you know, I read and watch this. And I remember all the social networks were quite big. And then Twitter came out of nowhere, and the media just could not give up on them. And then in the original, it was all kind of dumb personalities who couldn't write, were being promoted on there the whole time, you know. Sort of Beyonce just tweeted, oh, Beyonce's got some new shoes. And I just remember it was endless. Every media, mainstream media, you know, was Justin Bieber's tweeted, he's got an earring. Justin Bieber's got a new haircut. Justin Bieber, tweet, 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 tweet. And of course, with that, you can't stop but the population eventually going, oh, okay, let's go and see Justin Bieber's tweet. Thanks, media. And of course, then kind of the dumb people started to rule the world again. Look where that's got us. So that's the media and Twitter. You know, if anything's gone wrong on the planet in the last 15 years, was when people stopped innovating and sort of rich internet solutions and started going for dumbed down ones. So anyway, that was Twitter, which almost ruined the English language, dumbed down dialogue and debate, and basically polarized the world by nature of its engineering. And the guy that runs it, I have read it, you know, doubt a little bit. I don't think he's a nice guy. I'll be blunt about that. I think he's got a platform, made money, and that's it. Doesn't kind of care. Okay. Now, on the other side, Facebook, of course, was being harassed nonstop. And you imagine growing to that big, poor old Steve Zuckerberg trying to keep it together. I mean, most New Zealanders, you know, we all know what it's like to run a small business. I'm sure most of us have even been self-employed as a gardener or whatever, but you know what it's like to employ 3 or 4 people in your cake shop. And them not turning up on time and putting the wrong flour in the mix and serving their own coffee. You imagine having hundreds of thousands of staff around the world running Facebook and you still hate on them. Shame on you. So anyway, he tried to keep it together, but of course with the relentless attacks, they realised the way to go was dumbed down. And that's when they went, look, what are we doing all these solutions for the people? What are we doing? It's too hard. Why do we have inbuilt games, third-party apps, inbuilt blogs, all these groups, these meetups, these layers and layers and layers of engineering? It's all data, it's all numbers. And now by UE law, we have to collect every single bit of data and effectively make it accessible to the NSA. That's true. you know, with a warrant, but they have to now have an input to all the big NSAs of the world. anyway, and on that, actually, I've literally gone to WikiLeaks and downloaded the applications that the actual spy agencies use, so you can even fool them in yourself if you wanted to. Anyway, and that's, he went, well, let's make it dumb down. So let's do Instagram. Let's go for, let's not try to get into people being a better version of the South and uploading great stories or being blogs or studying or videos or writing games that people can play. And then Farmville was, yeah, it was annoying, but it was quite a cute game. It was not, you know, it wasn't going to kill the world. It wasn't like these horrible games now where everyone's shooting each other. The whole idea with Farmville is all your friends in the group can plant crops and you log back in and now you're the senior gardener of the village. I mean, it was stupid, but it was hardly malicious. I mean, for poor people that had no, you know, were lonely and different, even retirees could play that and kind of have a little kick out of it. But no, that was all too much for the evil media and the idiots. So they went, look, let's just give the people Instagram. That's all they want. They just want instant fame. It's not about, you know, deep relationships. It's not about bettering yourself. It's just about getting scores. It's just about quickly being into the media. It's 15 seconds of fame. And Facebook are like, why fight this? Why should we fight it? We got shareholders. We're a private business. We want money at the end of the day. The world doesn't care about this stuff. Twitter's that seems to be the thing. Let's just let people do what they want. You can take a photo of your lunch, bang, and upload it. Nothing more to it. Take a photo of your new Reebok shoes. You've waited for an hour in line. Bang, upload it. There you go. There's your post revolution in the computer science age, Instagram. And shame on you all, quite frankly, for falling for that, and for the media to promote it zealously. Let me give you an example. The Auckland Council, I think a few years ago, were trying to promote Auckland trains or something. And they spent a huge budget finding Instagram influencers around the world to promote sort of trains. And all they had to do was sort of, you know, put some photos on their wall. I mean, shamably, even our big goof, John Key, tried to make world diplomatic power balance improved by bringing a genius, Obama, on a plane. And the naive idea that he would tweet to put New Zealand on the map. And I think, good on Obama for having the decency to say, just because you're an idiot, I'm not. I will not tweet. That's an embarrassment. I've got real things to tell the world, real issues. I'm not going to fool my worldview by a tweet. So shame on you, John Key, for that. Again, these power people and should be ashamed of themselves for promoting these dumbed-down platforms. They do it actively, and these are people in power, you know, the places which should be holding the culture. You know, the ex-Prime Minister of New Zealand, how shame on him, and the people like, you know, Auckland Council, really, you know, if you're going to be putting budgets in, you really want to be using this new idea of influencers. And I'm not saying it's the whole thing should be, it should all be thrown away, okay? There's a place for any innovation on the internet. I love it. I mean, I'm sure, I think if you're an influencer and you're selling your cookie crumble online and you have your Instagram followers, yeah, I think good on you, you're doing that. But I don't like the idea that it's sort of the media and government to choose to push that when it's really the dumbest form of social network and it's got the dumbest feedback loop for society. So while they've got a value, I just think they should be put into deep, smarter solutions to open the narratives bigger and smarter. And therefore, Instagram will have its market share, but it shouldn't have the market share it has now. And Twitter, you know, they're the two dumbest idiot. You know, I mean, literally, I mean, Donald Trump, who. Many people realise cannot read and write, and there's research on that. It's the only platform we can use because you can't even spell on that. And so, again, shame on all of you for promoting Twitter and Instagram. Photography people, yeah, I get it. You can use Instagram, but again, they compress your resolution. So if you're a photographer, you shouldn't really be using that. There's huge, like Behance or Pinterest, if you have to. Even Pinterest is a better format for storing your images online if you're a budding photographer. Now, you can use Instagram, but I just don't think we should be budding. The media shouldn't be just promoting that with every story, you know, they publish. The new James Bond has put a new Instagram up of his car. Well, why did you say Instagram? Why didn't you say all the... Well, he was on Pinterest, he was on Reddit, he was on... I mean, even those are better. Even Quora is a better sort of platform for smartness. But, you know, your media too lazy to even promote any of those. It's just Instagram or Twitter. And it maybe appeals to their, you know, the attention span of reading three lines of text. But anyway, that's the narrative I'm trying to change, is to realize there's thousands of social networks out there that are deep, that have a huge beneficial to the world. That the media really are not our friends on this, and that I hope us promote and reward social networks that give us deep data. Now, with Facebook, I'm hoping it's not too late, but again, they've pulled out most of their features. So again, going back to what happened, the original Facebook, hundreds of incredible deep features. I remember zealously having barbecues, and I would invite my friends through Facebook, put in what was called an event. Bang, everybody, barbecue, Long Bay Beach. Everybody had the memo. They could forward it on to friends. Their friends could see it. Bang. Just all the time. It was really good for that stuff. And, yeah, again, it just doesn't work. Okay, so then, and then, so what Facebook did again, like I say, so they said, look, it's too hard. People just want to take a photo of their lunch. They want to take a photo of their poodle, and they want, you know, one silly little soundbite like, oh, cute dog. So they said, all right, well, let's buy Instagram and let's dumb down our main platform. Just dumb it down. Let's rip out all the third-party apps. Let's rip out the inbuilt blogs. Let's rip out the note systems. Let's rip out your wall being your space. Just keep ripping it all in and out. And let's just pretty much make it a photo-sharing website, quite frankly. Facebook now is really just a combination of Instagram and Twitter together. In other words, you post a photo and you write a tweet underneath it. And that's what the world wanted, you know, and who is Zuckerberg to stop us? So now it's post a photo, write, you know, a badly written diatribe under the photo, and Bob's around it. That's our new world. And so what, it literally happened in a period of about 5 years. So this cut, I remember it just started every week. There's a new feature almost being pulled out of Facebook. Apple did this too, by the way. The side in the 90s when Apple system 10.6 came out. 10.5 and 10.6. Apple realized that people were too dumb to use their features that had spent hard hours working. So actually 10.8, 10.9, Steve just pulled out features and made more money. A real shame. A clear example was the original iMovie. The original iMovie was actually built on the premise of Adobe Premiere. It was a normal video editing suite. And then iMovie, the next version, they realized, look, quite frankly, again, people are lazy. I'm amazed. And then, look, so they dumbed down iMovie and just made it a sort of a basic drag and drop. It's not a real video editing. But anyway, that's an aside. So Facebook did the same. And they pulled out all these features again, third-party apps, the games, all this stuff. And made verification a problem. You had to sort of make sure you had your own photo. They put all the legislation for European Union in there now. So there's every time you do anything, it has to ask you, you know, your cookies need to be tracked. You have to agree. All your data now is checked. You can't use any certain language words, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's fine. That's another subject. But, you know, dumbed it down so you can write palatable tweets. It's not going to offend anyone, and you can upload palatable photos. And that's what they did. And they made even more money because they don't have to support all the technology anymore. And I think the biggest thing in this, that to this day, I'm gobsmacked how they got away with it, was Snapchat. So even before Facebook, there was, and I'd even written to Kodak in the 90s, because I always do this. I'm 30 years ahead of the world, but I wrote to Kodak and I said, look, why don't you start a sharing website for your digital cameras when the people take a photo? Because it's a real pain to do anything. Start a social sharing site for your photos so people can get in there and albums and stuff like this. But anyway, 10 years after I wrote that, we did. Yahoo actually came out with a feature in sort of the early 2000s of sharing your photos. And the whole idea was that, you know, like the old, you don't want to have, remember the 80s, you took your photos, you printed them, and you stuck them in a big fat book, and you showed them to your friends who didn't want to watch them once every anniversary, right? Wedding anniversary. Well, the idea now is, well, you put your photos on, and this is Yahoo, and excuse me, and anyway, and so yeah, Yahoo were doing that, so it was sharing your photos. Yahoo had a whole lot of other social platforms too that were never used. They were too smart. And then what happened is the photos were public. You can mark them public, and this is fantastic. Or you can mark them for your friends. So now, instead of having your drawer full of photos, you'd say, oh, well, let's stick them on the World Wide Web. I'll make a group that's just my family, and I mark that only when people with my friends can watch them. And I'll organise them, and it's unlimited. I can just, billions, quite frankly, well, millions of my photos organised for perpetuity. For the end of time, my photos are safe from fire, from you know, under the bed, rotting, whatever. They're on the internet. Anytime I want to go back and look at that birthday of when I was 6 years old, there they all are. Anytime I meet someone in a cafe overseas, oh, yeah, that's cool. I went to Amsterdam in 1992. Oh, here's some photos of what it looked like. Great. Great world. And then, of course, I mean, again, the media, I think, are to blame for the dumbing down the culture. Who else would you blame? But we have such a dumbed down world that Snapchat's main feature was, as soon as you've got the photo, it will be deleted. Ah, I just love it. It was the same I saw years ago, a comedy about a hotel legitimately charging more for a room with no TV. And their sales pitch was, get away from all distraction in our rooms comes with just the bed. So Snapchat said, well, what we'll do for you is once you've viewed it, we'll delete it. And they don't have to store the data. I just, you know, as a guy who's done backups, let me tell you a quick anecdotal story of how horrible backups are. So I used to look after a huge magazine publishing company called EMAP, East Midland Allied Press, second biggest in the world. And I was at their Sydney office, and I did all the amazing magazines like FHM, if the guys know that, and Women's Day, and Surf This, and House and Garden This. Anyway, there's all sorts of magazines there, and I was the only IT guy on site. So the entire building, that's six floors of magazines, and I had to look after the backups, and it was like, I think about 10 magazines in total, and they are their own editors and the publishing and photos and stuff. And every day they'd pretty much be writing and going to print. And our company had the company I worked for had a contract to them, and I was on site looking after them. And a good job, you know. And anyway, one of the jobs, of course, was this horrible backup system they had. Because every single magazine had been backed up and every photo from the beginning of time was on their system. And they used a digital asset management system, which made it a little bit easier, and that was part of our job. But anyway, long story short, is the all the images were on, we had to put them on tape. And every Friday I'd sit in this server room religiously putting tapes into the big deck of tapes. Making sure the orders of the tapes have been right, how many times they've been written to, checking the tapes, putting into this big system. It was called Navigator, the system we used, and making sure the servers were ready to write to all the backups. And it's horrible, quite frankly. Backups suck. And then you'd put all these tapes in the machine, and sure enough, one tape would say black marked, had been had only been used, had been used in the last 24 hours, and so you had to double check it. Anyway, I was always there after time, putting these tapes up. Yeah. Then you'd put them in a silly box, and most companies, the truth is most IT companies don't do this. They're supposed to put them in a fireproof box and take them almost under guard to off-site facility, but in reality, they're thrown in pretty much, you know, it wasn't my procedure, thrown in a lunchbox, put in a bag, jumped on some horrible Sydney train out to our really horrible office, all but in some old homemade, you know, cupboard. But anyway, that's what I had to do. And again, the backups were really quite annoying. Anyway, that's what I had to do for EMAP. And one day, after a long weekend, and I was not even closely responsible, is the building managers had turned off the power to the building for some, I don't know, outage or some train. And the air conditioning was on the same power grid as the building, and totally out of my remit, but the server room had got to something like about 190 degrees and everything had effectively borderline melted. And anyway, so backups. So why am I saying this? Because backups are, no company wants to do data backups and no company wants to do your photos. So the fact that Snapchat got out of storing your data for you dumb people by selling it as a feature, I just love it. They never need to store your photos and them charging you money. I just love it. It's like, oh, Snapchat, yeah, we'll delete your photo. Yeah, we're not backing that up. We're not checking the data security of your JPEG. We're not transmitting that data protocol to our multiple levels. We don't have to store it. It's great. If you ever wanted to see that Snapchat that was such a great photo of that perfect wedding, yeah, stuff you. It's gone. You should have stayed with 1980s technology. You would have had a better chance of keeping your photo. And that took off. So Snapchat was almost on par with Instagram for a while. So anyway, again, so just you know, today is trying to go against this quite dumb media narrative. And, you know, there are, you know, the TVZ people really need to spend 1 hour a week doing, you know, the TVNZ should do this, the same as school teachers. My mum's a school teacher. Your school teachers do what's called professional development. Every week, generally, you do professional development. Officially, it's something like every month you go down and you learn a subject matter. You might learn, for example, computer science and or algebra. You are constantly increasing your brain capacity. Journalists do the opposite. They go, come down and bash your head against the champagne wall and try to lose more of your intelligence a week so that you can dumb down the culture. And I'd never understood why the TVNZ don't say, look, very simple, anyone was fired unless you're doing professional development. And the government should be saying this to the board of TVNZ. It is like, no disrespect, you're fired. You should have thought of this yourself. Why you're being trusted, you've been given this opportunity, you're fired. Get some directors in there and say, look, professional development, you journalists, the most important influencers in the culture need to be reading two books a week as part of your job. Two political books. You know, every book that's come out of the, you know, anywhere in the world, maybe they do get to choose them, maybe they're sort of a range of books, but any journalist, Mike Oskin, should be like at least reading, quite frankly, three books a week on some subject. At the very bare minimum, they should be reading, you know, scientific journal at least in the office. They should be reading The Economist magazine, just stuff that the general, even intellectually curious people read. These media people, these dumb media people, don't seem to even, I don't know what they read. I really think they read sometimes just, I don't know, cheesecake wrappers or something. But, you know, because then if they were to be given professional development, the media would understand, look, there's lots of layers to social network. This idea of hating on big tech is really a primitive narrative. It's not helping anyone. We need to look at the different social networks. We need to be promoting the hundreds of other ones that are out there that have a place. Sometimes they're small, but Facebook was small in the beginning. And, you know, so if you, you know, you still promote them. For example, there was a company called Dig that was a much better solution for liking things than Facebook. It was Dig invented the light, by the way. In the beginning, you had to dig things. And the media, you know, the media just, I mean, let's be honest, they're going to golf and playing champagne. They're not dealing with, you know, smart people in their day in, day out. But they never mentioned dig ever in the media. Anyway, so, yeah, that's my story. I'm hoping that we'll change the narrative to say, look, not all social media is the same, or social networks are the same. Let's be much more nuanced. There's some great things for the world on smart platforms. Just like the aeroplane has done so much for the world, technology of itself is not a bad thing. It can liberate us. It can improve our lives. So stop being Luddites, or worse, zealots. And you find alternative solutions, alternative platforms online. There's hundreds. Promote them. If you're an Instagram twit, even your duty would be to sign up to some competing social networks and tell your audience. Like I say, you know, Minds was one that was supposed to be slightly more interesting, you know, and it's not going to cost you any more money to put your homemade muffins across a few series. Yeah, and in the media, if we change that narrative, it's going to be a lot better. And then stop promoting Twitter on every single bulletin that's posted. I'm a godsmack that now what is considered a Herald story is literally just starting by this. Someone tweeted this, and let's talk about it. It would all make sense if the media were given shares on Twitter. That would make me almost feel better, because it's like, clever evil genius. But I think it's just laziness and dumbness, which is even worse. So you stop promoting Twitter. There's thousands of other solutions out there. Promote even the small guys. Realize that it's about you know, communication in its in a deep way. You know, digital communication is not just photos and tweets. It's blogs, theses, videos, 3D models even, you know. If you're an engineer and you upload your new 3D model of a better carburetor, isn't that going to help if you, you know, you open source it? I mean, this actually started happening in New Zealand media again, because they're so dumb. Didn't really get on the story, but while the pandemic was going around, there was some social platforms sharing 3D models, literally the engineering models from AutoCAD or Inventor, Autodesk Inventor, to the world on the actual diaphragms for an open source version of a defibrillator, of a ventilator. And that was promoted as a downloadable three-dimensional model that would be basically could go into what was called a CNC machine, and you could print out the ventilator. If that makes sense, it's effectively the actual downloadable engineering documents, and that could be shared. So you know, this idea that the social network's about tweeting your lunch and tweeting your political views, that is like the darkest end of what it's supposed to do. Anyway, so that's kind of it's a pretty wild world there, and you know, I guess that's the world we live in, unfortunately. And this thing is a bit of a shame, but look, that's how it is, and I'm hoping that the narrative definitely will improve, you know. And now we've got a bit of a funny thing coming up on this radio system here. Oh, there it is. No, it's somehow the automatic computer, you know, relief things to computers, has not kicked in to take over. So that was the problem this morning. It's not my remit, unfortunately. So I'll just see if there's someone that can solve that.